guys doing? That was good?
Great.
Great? Great. It was a great day. It's a great day to be alive because God is good, and it's been a great celebration so far. And I just want to welcome you to Koinonia. And just as that little kind of video intro kind of highlighted, we this year as a church are focusing on love as our theme. We got the word right up here to constantly remind us about love. And Pastor Tim, just at the beginning of this year, just had a vision that we are supposed to talk about and focus on love throughout 2015. And then we've broken those letters out to kind of say love, opportunities, victory, and evangelism. And we just believe that God has ways that He wants us to grow in our love and our passion for Him, our love for Him, but also our love for others. That this year, in 2015, God has new opportunities for us, both collectively as a church, but also individually, that He wants to bring about victory in our lives. And we, you know, heard some testimonies about victory that is happening, that God is bringing about, and that God wants us to share the good news about what He has done, right, in evangelism. And so that's kind of our focus for 2015, and we're just kind of working through those, and they all do really fall under this umbrella of love, that God loves us, and we're called to love Him in return, and that we want to be a place that has a passion for God and a compassion for others. And so right now we are in the O of love, and we're talking about opportunities. And so over the next several weeks, we're just going to talk about what does it look like for us, maybe individually, maybe for our family, my marriage, for us as a church. What are opportunities that we have? How do we pursue opportunities? What kind of opportunities are we supposed to look for? Pastor Tim launched that last week, and we're going to continue that this morning. And if you grab the bulletin, you kind of already see what I'm going to talk about. And that's opportunity requires effort. And just want to kind of unpack that a little bit. We live in a culture and a society where we really value ease and comfort and convenience. Does anybody like ease? Anybody like comfort?
Yes.
Anybody like convenience?
Yes.
Me too. And sometimes when I see that word effort, I'm just like, really? Effort? I mean, I'm like, I can just be so lazy sometimes. And this week, my six-year-old daughter, she kind of was sick all week, and I kind of spent some days home with her, and she was finally feeling better, and she's laying on the couch, and I'm like, hey, Eliza, do you got something to eat? How are you feeling? She's like, yeah. I was like, what do you want? And threw out some ideas. She's like, can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. And I got excited right away because I thought, peanut butter and jelly, easy, right? Two slices of bread, peanut butter, jelly, done. Like 60 seconds max, right? And I'm done. Like, here you go. And so I go in the kitchen, get the bread out, get the jelly, get the peanut butter. Well, to fill in the story a little bit, my wife doesn't buy that like Jif and like that kind of peanut butter, like the whole it has like corn syrup in, which I appreciate. I think that, you know, be healthy and that kind of thing. So it's that stuff that's like really like peanut sludge with like the oil. You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys ever had like natural stuff? And usually, you know, once you stir it and you put it in the fridge, it's good. And so I pull it out and I open it up and I'm like, it hasn't been stirred, you know, and like the oil's just sitting on the top and the sludge is on the bottom, and I just start stirring it, and I'm just like, it's effort, it's taking work, and I just find myself just getting irritated, and like, just like, stupid peanut butter and this oil, and like, why don't we just buy the other stuff, and I'm just stirring it, and just like, grumbling, just because it requires work, you know, and what I thought was going to be like, 60 seconds done, here you go, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous, I'm just, oil spilling on the countertop, and I'm just grumbling, and I just find like these emotions like spinning up inside of me, and all of a sudden I'm like, what is wrong with me? You know, like, okay, all of a sudden it was gonna take a minute, now it's gonna take three, and I'm like, my life is ruined because of this peanut butter, right? And like, you know, here's my daughter who's been sick all week, and all she wants is peanut butter and jelly. And so I keep stirring, I try to change my attitude and change my heart and say, okay, I'll do a little work because I love my daughter. And that's kind of, for some of us, that's our relationship with effort, right? We just live in a culture where we don't want to work for stuff a lot of times. And I know some of you guys are weird. Like, some of you guys are weird, and you guys are working and doing stuff all the time. I don't get you people. and so your question this morning might be different than the question I asked. So your question might be, all the time and effort and energy I'm doing, am I putting it towards the right things? And that might be the question for you. For some of you slackers like me, it might just be, am I putting forth the effort that I need to be putting forth? And there might be a different question that you need to ask yourself as we evaluate our lives. And so we want to look at a passage that comes from 2 Peter. 2 Peter is a book in the New Testament. Peter was one of the disciples of Jesus, and towards the, most scholars think that 2 Peter was written towards the end of Peter's life. And in 2 Peter, he basically writes a letter, right? At that point in Christianity, you had new people coming to follow Jesus and accept Jesus and want to know Jesus. And they were trying to figure out how to grow. What does it mean to know Jesus and follow him? And so much of the New Testament, right, are Christian leaders who were prompted and led by the Holy Spirit to write letters to these new Christians. And so Peter, he writes his letters and sends them out. This letter, 2 Peter, he writes 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, there's some things he's addressing. One of the things that he's addressing in this letter is that with this new church, and when we say church, just so we know, that when we say the word church, we don't mean a building. We don't mean a place. We're not talking about concrete and wood and a structure. When we use that term church, we mean a group of people who are following after Jesus Christ. Right? And so Peter's writing this letter to the church, and what it started to come, like some people were coming into the church and they were teaching wrong things. They were manipulating others. And so Peter's kind of addressing that. And in the beginning of 2 Peter, he's really encouraging these new Christians, these people who are trying to find out and figure out what it means to follow Christ. He's just encouraging them. Hey guys, keep growing, keep pursuing Christ. And that's kind of where we find, we're going to like look at this section where Peter's basically just encouraging and challenging these new followers of Christ to keep growing. And so it's in your bulletin here, and I apologize. Woo, throwing stuff around up here. That was a little effort to pick that up. I gotta like keep myself in check. All right. But there's no, we don't have any verses on this, so I apologize. But I'm gonna kind of start halfway down, and then we're gonna kind of come back to the beginning if you want to follow along. And just so you know, like you might be looking at this and like, well, those are a lot of words. It's gonna require a lot of effort to read. There's maybe a lot to unpack in that. And some of you guys are like, oh man, how long is this gonna take? There's a lot to that. And so just so you know, we're just gonna kind of skim this in many ways as we talk about it. And I wanted to put the whole thing there for you to take with you this week and just encourage you to read this. I mean, maybe commit to reading this every day this week. I mean, it won't take you very long. And I find that for me to really kind of digest a scripture, I have to come back to it, and I have to meditate on it. Christian meditation, if we use that term, does not, like, we think of meditation, we think like some dude, like, I'm not even going to try to do like sit Indian style because it won't happen. But, you know, some guy Indian style going, you know, like, that is not Christian meditation. You know, that kind of meditation is trying to empty your mind and think about nothing. Christian meditation is actually thinking about something, usually about God and his goodness and his grace. That's what Christian meditation is. It's thinking on something for an extended period of time. This passage this week, something great to meditate upon. So it's there for you. And we're just going to read, I think it's about six lines down. There's a line that says, by human desires. We're going to start that first sentence there if you'd like to follow along. Or you can find it in your Bible. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. All right. Peter says this. In view of all this, make every effort. Let's just say that together. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would say maybe the more opportunities that you will have. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. All right, let's do it one more time. Make every effort. Repeat that. Make every effort. Peter here is saying to these new Christians, he's like, I want you to strive after the life that God has called you to. We just saw a bunch of people get baptized, right? We did it in the first service, we did it in this service. There are all kinds of testimonies, right? And if we think of, let's say, the Christian life as a path, right? There's an entry point to the path. Right? And then there's this journey. And you heard stories, some people that they put their faith in Jesus Christ long ago, but they had never made this proclamation, this visible and public proclamation of their faith. But what all those people were doing this morning is saying that I've stepped across that line. I've started on that path. And maybe I'm a little bit further on and I didn't do that, but I'm basically saying that I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ. And then there's this journey that we are on. There's a kind of a Christian bumper sticker. It's probably a t-shirt. Who knows what else it's on? If you have a t-shirt or a bumper sticker, I'm not picking on you. But I just kind of, it's something that's caught my attention. I've used this analogy before. But there's a statement of, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Has anyone ever heard that? Right? I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. And I understand the sentiment. I understand what that phrase is trying to communicate, right? That we're not perfect. Anybody in here perfect? All right, if anybody puts their hands up, I'm going to call you a liar. All right, okay, just messing. All right, right? None of us are perfect, right? And so that's an obvious statement, right? But there's this, the phrase just forgiven, I think, is a little problematic. Because the idea that we're just forgiven isn't really what Scripture teaches and tells us to pursue. It would be kind of like, here's the path of Christian life, and I've stepped over the line, and I'm just like, all right, God, I'm good. I'm done. I'm just going to hang out here. Right? Like, I mean, I'm on the path, but I'm just going to hang out right here at the trailhead, and I'm okay. You've forgiven me. I have salvation. I've placed my faith in you, and that's enough. Right? And the testimonies we heard this morning were not that, were they? They were like, I've made that step, but then what? I want to experience something new. I want to see change happen in my life and the life of those around me and in my marriage and in my family and in my kids. And I don't want to just step across that line and be like, okay, I'm done. I'm good. Right? And what does Peter say here? He says, make every effort to not just stay just forgiven, because we're not supposed to be just forgiven. We're supposed to be forgiven, but then we're supposed to experience some kind of change in our lives, and we're supposed to experience some kind of movement and momentum towards something. And what Peter is saying here to these Christians 2,000 years ago is, he's like, hey guys, come on. Let's move forward. Let's push ahead. You have been forgiven, but it doesn't end there. This is actually just the beginning of a new life. And that new life means that I have to make some effort. And so opportunity, right? If we think about opportunities, we need to think that opportunities require effort. And the opportunities that I'm focused on this morning are not opportunities out there, but rather opportunities in here. And if we don't talk about opportunities in here and we jump to opportunities out there, we get it backwards. Because we need to look at opportunities in here to grow in God's grace and our knowledge of Him and our experience of Him and put on His character so that then the opportunities out there will naturally fall into place. But first, we need to talk about the opportunities we have to grow in our knowledge and in our faith of Jesus Christ. And Scripture tells us to put on His character. And that's what Peter is saying. And so he says it starts with faith, right? It starts stepping across that line, right? Like, I accept Jesus. I accept Him. I believe in Him. I want to make a proclamation that I believe that He died on a cross, right? Most historians say that, right, there was a guy named Jesus. He was from Nazareth. He lived, he was born around the year zero, that he died on a cross in Jerusalem under Roman rule. Most historians all agree with that. Then the question becomes, well, what happens after, right? And that's where our faith comes into place. That I say, well, I believe that at that cross, that Jesus took my sins upon Himself, the consequence for my sins upon Himself. And that it didn't end there, but that he actually died, but then he rose again. And when he resurrected, he actually demonstrated that he has power and authority over sin and over death, and that he extends grace and goodness to me, and that that's what my faith is in, right? Is centered upon the cross. And so so Peter says, hey, faith is the first thing, right? But then he's like, you don't stop there, right? You add to your faith other things, right? It's not this stopping. It says, make every effort to add to your faith, right? And I think that sometimes as Christians, you know, we can get stuck in that I'm not perfect and I'm just forgiven kind of mentality. And we're not going to attain perfection, but God has called us, right, to be growing and that there be some sort of forward progress in putting on Christ's character, right? And how do we do that? And sometimes we get weirded out in the church with this whole idea of effort. And we think that when we use that term effort, that we're kind of going against grace, right? Because grace is something that is given freely, right? When we talk about God's grace, we are saved by God's grace, and we place our faith in that. I do nothing, right, to earn God's favor. I do nothing to earn salvation. It's not my work, right? It's actually in spite of me, but I accept it by faith, right? Jesus is the one who has done the work to bring about salvation. There is nothing that I can do, right, to earn that. Right? And so, I mean, we are all broken and sinful, and we cannot earn God's love. We cannot earn his forgiveness. We cannot earn his salvation. And so sometimes when we use that term effort, we get a little confused because we think, well, aren't we starting to earn something as we work? And we just need to remind ourselves and remember and know that grace is not opposed to effort, but grace is opposed to earning. And I can put forth effort, and that's not earning, but it's actually just putting forth effort and work to grow and develop. And actually, you know, one of my favorite authors, a guy named Dallas Willard, he says that actually when we pursue growth in Christ, we actually use more of God's grace. That God's grace actually is extended in a greater way the more we pursue putting on the character of Christ. That God's grace is there. The question is, are we going to lean into that grace? And what Willard says is that Christians who are pursuing Christ burn grace like a 747 burns fuel, right? And I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody who burns God's grace, that uses God's grace that is out there. And God says, my grace is here. Are you going to lean into it? And so when we talk about putting forth effort to grow closer to Christ, to put on his character, to allow him to form us, we're not talking about earning anything, right? And a lot of times we can then start to gain this like pride, you know? And so again, it's not because of me, it's because of God's grace, right? And I have nothing to be proud of, right? I mean, I'm happy that there's transformation happening, but it's me partnering with God, but it's because of his grace and his presence that any of that is even possible. And so for me to think like, wow, check me out, look what I did, is so like just so nearsighted and just off course, because it's only by God's grace that I can experience anything of change and transformation in my life. And he invites us. It's like this is the path, right? And I step across that line and say, hey, I accept Jesus. I place my faith in him. And God's like, man, this whole path is full of my grace. And are you going to lean into it? Are you going to lean into my grace? And are you going to put forth effort in experiencing my grace? And are you going to use my grace that is there for you? And God invites us, and he says it's because of my grace. And I think that where God's grace meets our effort is where transformation happens. And we need to be people who meet grace, God's grace, and our effort. And Jesus kind of uses the term, you know, he invites us to co-labor with him in his kingdom. That means work alongside. Christ is at work. Are we willing to work with him in moving forward? And Peter here says, make every effort. He's like, go, go, go. You're not called to be just forgiven. You're called to actually put on the character of Christ. So how does he describe the character of Christ here, right? He says, add to your faith. Faith is the foundation. But he says, add to that some things. What does he say? He says, moral excellence. And I just want, as we go through these, just think for a minute and maybe even think like, okay, where would I rank? Right? If I was to look, think of this characteristic and quality in my life, how would I rate it? You know, how am I at moral excellence? And one thing about character is something it's not about just what we do, but it's about who we are, right? It's not just about our external actions. Jesus constantly talks about what's going on in here more so than what he is going on out here. And so it's kind of like, okay, you know, I might act one way, but how's my heart doing, right? It's like me stirring the peanut butter. I'm doing it, but I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous, stupid, right? I mean, all kinds of stuff can be coming out of me in that moment, but I'm doing the right thing, at least outwardly. And so it's like character is something that's internal, that is seen, but we can also hide sometimes and pretend to be someone else. So going through these, so he says, add to your faith what? Moral excellence. What is moral excellence? Being a good person, right? What does that mean? I mean, there's all kinds of ways we can talk about virtue. You know, are you honest and trustworthy? Right? Are you, do you have courage, moral courage to do the right thing even when everyone else is doing something else? You know, do you have moral excellence to be fair to people, to pursue justice, right? And not just when people are looking, but when nobody's looking, when nobody else knows, like are you morally excellent then? Because the path to putting on the character of Christ, part of that is this jacket of moral excellence, right? That God's grace allows us to experience and to pursue. How about knowledge? I mean, I think God wants us to be intelligent Christians, and I think you know we can kind of like sometimes just kind of like, oh, I don't know, God, I understand what I understand, and, you know what I know, but, you know, I don't know a lot, you know, kind of thing. And God's, no, he's like, I want you to grow knowledge. I want you to learn more. I want you to be, right, I've given you a mind, exercise it, use it, and lean into my grace to know me more. All right, I've given you scriptures, right? Read. Get in community. Talk about this stuff. Ask questions. Probe. Prod. Seek answers. Right? Study and meditate on what we call God's word, on scripture. Right? And grow in your knowledge. And does that require effort? Does that require work? I mean, anybody ever been in school and you had to study something? Right? Right? You know, it was work. But here Peter's saying, let me encourage you and challenge you. Put forth the work. Make every effort to lean into God's grace and grow in your knowledge. Next, what does he say? And to your knowledge add self-control. You guys like that word, self-control? Yeah. Right, you guys love that word, right? You guys are all awesome at self-control, right? Yeah. Right? I mean, self-control, we need self-control, right, to kind of bring about good things in our lives. You know, if you want to get in shape, I've been talking about, like, I need to lose some weight. I need to get in shape, right? And does that require self-control? Right? And so last night, 10 o'clock, you know, I'm just sitting there. I was watching this documentary, and I started remembering, oh, there's a Klondike in the freezer. And I'm like, self-control would say don't eat the Klondike, but you know, I'm starting thinking like, yeah, but if I don't get it, like tomorrow, one of my kids is gonna find it and it's gonna be gone, and you know, and so you know, it's like, you know, what is self-control? You know, it's like, no, self-control is hard, right? It takes effort. Just confession, I ate the Klondike, and it was delicious. And I don't regret it, so. If I do that every night, I will probably start to, but it requires effort, right? Self-control requires effort. It requires work, and a lot of times we don't like it. It's easy just to give in, right? And what does self-control look like for us spiritually? It's like, man, when I'm at work and the bozo that I don't like is like, I just wanna like go off. Right? I just want to tell, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. And self-control might suggest, keep your mouth shut. You don't need to be heard right now. You know, right? It's better to bite your tongue and control what you say and go back to your desk and ask God for a little patience than to say something right now. You know, self-control will dictate what we watch, what we look at online. Self-control, it dictates how we interact with people, what we say online. People say crazy stuff on Facebook, right? I mean, it's like, self-control means everyone doesn't even know my opinion, and I don't need to offend people and think that just because it's on the virtual world that I can say whatever and there's no consequence to it, right? I mean, like, self-control means, no, I'm gonna make some different choices, and it requires work and effort and discipline, right? And Peter says, make every effort. And he didn't even have Facebook. Just deal with that. So, well, then it says, add to that what? Patient endurance. Man, are those two words that are hard for anybody in here? Patience and endurance. Those are two tough words. I tell you what, though, I like being around people who are patient and willing to endure. That's for sure. Right? Those people are great. Right? And I want to be like that because there's this life and this confidence and this like kind of steadiness that they have. Right? This like. Whatever the circumstances, I'm going to patiently endure it because I know God is bigger than all this. That's right. And I can be confident and calm in the midst of chaos. And I'm okay with it because I'm not in control of everything, but God is. And I'm going to lean into His grace and I'm going to patiently endure whatever it is. And I just want, on this topic, I just want to kind of, I know some of you came this morning, and you're in the midst, like circumstances going on around you are like there's turmoil going on around you. And you came this morning hoping for God to do something with whatever's going on around you. And I want to say that God cares about that, but God cares more about you and what's going on in here than what's going on out here. And if you came this morning saying, God, I want you to change this, I would encourage you and challenge you to change that request to God, change what's going on in here. That's right. God, bring about change in me. And we're the other stuff, whatever. Change me, right? And if you're in the midst of something, God wants to use that to shape you. Why? Because He loves you, and He wants you to experience change and transformation. He wants you to patiently endure junk going on around you because there's this maturity and this faith that God is who He claims to be, and I don't have to control all that, and I don't have to try to manage all that, but I'm going to focus on what God wants to do here. Because God just doesn't want to do stuff in your life. God wants to do something in you. And God is concerned about who you are more than what's going on around you. That's right. And come to Him and just say, God, change me. Just God, change me. And I think if we all had that prayer, man, some significant things would happen. And I think that would lead to lots of opportunities in our lives. And the opportunities and things that that we just want to experience and we want to pursue. And those things will fall into place if what the right thing's going on in here. And so to our patient endurance, add godliness. What is godliness? Godliness is being like God, right? And obviously we can't be like God fully, but when we look at the person of Jesus and how He acted on this earth, right? And how He dealt with people, I mean, that's kind of godliness, right? Patient, right? It kind of goes hand in hand, right? I mean, kind of all the other things we've already said kind of go along with godliness and pursuing a degree of holiness and purity and joy and patience and confidence in God. You know, all those things kind of fall into that. And then next, brotherly affection. I mean, just be nice. I mean, that's, you know, Peter's like, hey, you guys that are following after Christ and you're wanting to grow, be nice, right? Just be nice, right? Brotherly affection, right? Grow in being nice to people. Does that take work? Yes. Does that take God's grace? Yes. Sometimes, some of you guys need a little bit of that in the parking lot. Just, you know, I'm not going to point. I'm not going to have people stand, you know, but for some of us, you know, we get in the parking lot and I'm like, I need a little brotherly kindness, right? And it might take a little effort on my behalf and a lot of God's grace for me to experience God's character, Christ's character in that realm. Because, I mean, if you're like me, you can get frustrated driving your car. Like, we think that just because, like, we're in a vehicle and there's glass, like, that, like, it's like this special zone of, like hatred towards others or something. I don't know. Like, stuff that we would think or say, like, here, like, we'd never do, like, if we encountered someone in the hallway and, like, hey, dude, what are you, get in my space, get away, you know, like, I mean, we'd never do that in the hallway here at church, but we'll do it in the parking lot. And Peter's saying, no, brotherly kindness, right? I mean, be kind, right? Brotherly affection, be kind and nice and generous, and not just out here in what I do, but also in here. And does that require God's grace?
Yes.
Absolutely. Does it require our effort?
Yes.
Absolutely. And Peter says, make every effort. And then he says to brotherly affection or kindness, he says love. And here, this concept love here in the New Testament, it's not this emotional feeling. It's not, that I fall in and out of love or whatever. But love is a choice, right? That is agape love, which is this profound sense of wanting and desiring the benefit of the other. Thinking of the other before I think of the self, right? And it's a sacrificial, right, type of attitude towards others. That's what we see on the cross, right? That Jesus says, I am willing to suffer and die as a demonstration of love, a demonstration of agape, that I am sacrificing for the benefits and the betterment of others. And that's love, right? And it's interesting here that Peter starts with faith, kind of the beginning of our journey, and then he ends with love, right? Which I think is what it's all about, is experiencing God's love and extending love to others. But it requires our efforts and God's grace. And when those two things meet, God's grace and our effort, transformation begins to happen. And we first have to know that we constantly have an opportunity to do this in here. And as we lean into the opportunity to do it here, I think that we'll start to have some opportunities out there that God will bring about. But if we don't do it here, we're not going to have the right kind of opportunities out here. And God created us on purpose and with purpose. And for us to experience that, we got to lean into His grace and push towards it. And that's what Peter is telling us. Make every effort, continue striving, continue pursuing, continue leaning into God's grace and His goodness so that you can experience transformation and put on the character of Christ. It's interesting, the word character that we use in English to refer to. I mean, character kind of refers to the true self, right? Who we truly are, right? Some people say character is how you act and behave when no one's looking, right? That demonstrates your character. It's not just what we do, but who we are. That word itself comes from the Greek word, it's like character, that was initially used to be like the initials that an artist would put on, say, a clay pot or on a painting to kind of make this is mine, this is my work, right? This, like, these little initials. And so a potter, a painter, a sculptor, someone who designed something or created something would put their initials on it. That was the character, right? It's where we get the word for letters, right, as well. The character comes from the same root, character, the letters, but also character as far as the identifying mark on the piece. It's like the creator says, that's mine, yep. And you can figure out who made it by looking at the character, right? Over time, that idea became known as like what was the identifying mark on people, right? What was their character, right? What was it that was internal to them that you would see externally that you could identify who they were? Were they trustworthy? Were they honest, right? Those things would represent a mark that was kind of on their heart, in a spiritual sense. And the New Testament tells us to put on the character of Christ, right? That like our heart should have a monogram, like, this is, that I belong to Christ, right? That He is my maker and that my character is found in Him. And that I put on His character as I, again, lean into God's grace and make effort to place that. And that as I do that, there's this mark, right? This monogram, this signature, this imprint that represents and shows who I am, that then flows out of me naturally towards others. Again, baptism, that's what they're doing. They're saying, like, I'm proclaiming, right, that my character, the mark on my heart is Jesus, is the cross, is His sacrifice and His love for me. And we're invited to this idea that we are to put on that character. And if we were to kind of think about like what is it that if you ask people that knew you, what would they say is the character on your heart? Right? And would they say it's Christ or would they say something else? And if it's not Christ, we need to start leaning into God's grace, right? And experience and pushing forth effort to do so. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, kindness, and love. At the beginning of this passage, you can go back and read, but it can be a little overwhelming, right? How do I experience any of this? It's hard, right? What Peter says, though, is at the beginning of that section I read, he said, in view of all of this, all right, what does that mean? means he's reflecting to something that he already said, right? It's kind of like, therefore, look back to the beginning, right? In view of all of this, what is all of this that he has referred to? Well, in verse 3 there, he says, and it's in here if you want to read, but it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life, right? We think it's hard. It's like, oh, how am I going to do this? I just want to remind you that what Peter says is like, God has given us everything we need to pursue this. God has given you everything you need to make this happen. And he talks a lot about the promises of God and that the promises are reminders to call us to faith. I mean, I would, again, encourage you, I mean, stick this somewhere, read it every day this week, read it. Maybe that's the effort that you need to make this week is I'm going to put forth some effort and it's only going to take me a few minutes, but I'm going to read this. And then throughout my day, I'm going to put forth some more effort. And I'm going to think about this. And I'm going to allow this to get into my heart, to shape my character and think about this passage. And what Peter says is he's given you everything you need. If any of you have kids or you know people that have talent, right? And maybe you have a kid who's a great piano player and they just seem to have some talent. Now, that's maybe a gifting that they have, but what do they have to do to demonstrate that gifting? They got to practice, right? They got to put forth effort, right? And it's like they have this something in them, right? And maybe they start growing in that. They start practicing and then they get to the point and they give up. Is that frustrating? Like as a parent, is that frustrating if you experience that? Because you're like, no. There's something inside you, right? And you're giving up. And it's kind of like that frustration that maybe parents feel sometimes when their kids give up on things because they have a talent or they have a skill set that they kind of like just get lazy and don't want to do anymore. And Peter's like, you have everything you need for this journey. You have everything you need to put on this character, right? You have everything you need. Don't give up on it, but it takes effort and it takes work. And Peter says, go, move forward. Don't just be forgiven. Be forgiven and then lean into God's grace so that you can experience transformation and put forth effort and work. I read a story this week about a couple that were sailing off the coast of Florida. They were 4 miles out, they're on a sailboat, they're doing some fishing, and the wife decided she wanted to go for swimming. So she jumps in the ocean, goes swimming, and realizes that she is caught as the tide is going out. And she realized that the tide was strong enough that she could not make it back to the sailboat. So she calls out, and her husband hears, and he just instinctively jumps in as well to go and try to help her. Suddenly he's caught in the tide, and they're kind of moving away. And they kind of just formed this plan, and they just said, you know, he was a strong swimmer, a good swimmer, she was not. And he's like, I'm going to swim, and I'm going to make every effort to keep the sailboat within my view. You know, he told his wife, like, conserve your energy and just stay afloat. And so she starts drifting away, and he's working with all his might to keep the sailboat just within his view. For 6 hours, he swims against the currents, against the tide, just fighting and fighting and fighting to keep that sailboat from fading into the distance. And as his arms are burning, as he's about to give up, after 6 hours of swimming, the tide changes, and he's able to get to the sailboat. By this time, it's dark, and it wasn't until the next morning that they could kind of look for his wife. And they found her. She was alive, but she had drifted 20 miles out to sea when they found her. And as I heard that story, I was like, what a picture, right, of us and our spiritual lives. And if I cross this line and I say I'm just forgiven and I'm just going to drift, what's going to happen? Where am I going to drift to? Who knows where, right? I'm going to drift in all kinds of places that I don't want to end up. I'm not going to experience transformation, but I'm just going to drift. Or am I going to strive and keep the cross in my view and pursue that with all of my might? Because that's where God's grace is found, and he has given us everything we need to put on that character and strive after him. And I think this morning, some of us have drifted. We just kind of have in our Christian lives, we maybe crossed that line, and maybe we just started to drift. And this morning, I think God is inviting us, you know, to turn, to start pursuing him once again. At the bottom of this, there's this opportunity challenge. And I don't know what you need to do. I mean, I kind of know what I need to do. And I just want you to know that I fail in this area a lot. Like, I've been drifting lately. And just preparing this message, God has been doing a lot in my heart that I need to start striving again. I need to start putting forth efforts to pursue His grace and experience transformation. And so I just put this week, I will acknowledge the daily opportunity I have to become the person God wants me to be and make effort to pursue this goal by. And it's blank. Like, for me, I think I need a page, right? But I just encourage you, I mean, like, take this. Read this a few times this week. And actually make the step of writing something there that's specific for you and do it. So often we hear all kinds of messages. We hear all kinds of, you know, things that potentially could be life-changing, but we never do anything with it. I just want to tell you that if you do this, it'll bring transformation into your life, right? And it starts little by little. It's not all at once, but it's little by little, piece by piece, you know. And just do that. I'm not gonna have you do it right now. I mean, but I want you to think about it and take it seriously. I mean, and I know our tendency is after church, I'm thinking about lunch, I'm thinking about nap, I'm thinking about other stuff, right? I'm not thinking about that. And I just want to encourage, like, make that step, make that effort. Like, it's worth it, right? And what Peter says to the early church and those early Christians, he says, make every effort, push, move forward, use God's grace that's there. He says to us today, push, make every effort, use God's grace that's there. And I just want to invite you guys to stand. We're just going to conclude here, but I don't think you guys use GPS ever. But you ever get lost? Like, you ever ignore? Like, you ever, like, has anyone in here, like, ever used GPS and then you, like, ignore the instructions? Like, yeah, whatever. They're telling me where to go, but I'm smarter than this phone or this unit or whatever, right? And I'm going to try my own thing. And we kind of, like, turn the wrong corner. It just, all it says is, like, recalculating. Recalculating. And I think some of you guys this morning, you've gotten off course, you've drifted, and I think God's just saying, I'm recalculating, and I want to put you back on that path, and it just takes you kind of coming before me and surrendering, and the Holy Spirit saying, I'm recalculating, I want to invite you back to this pursuit, I want to invite you back to this path that leads to Christ's character, and if you've drifted, the Holy Spirit's like, I'm recalculating. And this morning is the morning that you can just say, I'm getting back on the path. And it just takes you saying, I surrender. God, forgive me for drifting. I want to get back on the path. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you right now, and we just thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you that you don't give up on us, that when we drift away from you, that you recalculate and you invite us back to that path to pursue godly character and all that comes with that. And it's because of your grace and your goodness and your love. It's not because of what we do or don't do, but it's because of your grace and your mercy and love. And I know for some of us right here now, the Holy Spirit within us is just saying, hey, I'm recalculating and I'm inviting you back onto that. And if that's you this morning, I just want to just ask you to raise your hand. Just say, and just a statement of like, God, I confess to you that I have drifted and I want to get back on that course. And I hear the words from Peter where he tells us, make every effort to pursue Jesus Christ. And if that's you and you've been drifting, just say, I mean, this is between you and God. This isn't about, I'm not looking, people, it's just, God, I surrender myself to you right now. And Jesus, recalculate and help me to step back on that path. And I want to make every effort and forgive me, God, for allowing my selfishness, my laziness, my whatever it may be, temptation to cause me to drift. And God, put me on that path again. And I just pray for all of us, Lord, that this would be a week where we put forth efforts, where we lean into your grace and put forth effort towards growing and experiencing grace in greater ways. And if that means I need to get up 15 minutes early, or I need to skip my lunch break and spend time in your word, or I need to fast, I need to pray, whatever it may be, Lord, I just want us as a community of faith, as the church, to say we will make effort to pursue you, to lean into your grace and experience the goodness of the character of Jesus. Help us, we pray. We thank you that you're with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.